Has anybody ever wondered, why are you here? Not only on the planet, why are you here? Here. Why did God lead you to here? I know some of you have wanted to leave for years. God won't let you. It's not because I'm so awesome, although I think so. It's because you have something somebody else needs. See, we get to focusing just on us. My four and no more, right? That used to be the way the blessings used to go. Oh, Lord, bless my family, but nobody else. That's not what we're called for. The Christian lifestyle is to put other people in above us. And I would say in the last 20 years or so, 30 years, now that I stop, slow down and think about it, the church has become very more focused on just individuals. I get to bless, you know, I get to grow. Well, you grow, but how are you helping anybody else? That's what we're called to do. Most of you in here are members, and you know, one of the things that I believe we should serve. Our Lord and Savior was called the suffering servant. He served his people. He was their master. He was their God. And yet he donned a servant's apron. And he got down and he washed the camel dung, sheep dung, the dirt, the grime out off of their feet. We think about that. We see these nice European pictures, don't we, of the foot washing. Everybody's got one white skin. Wrong. Blue eyes, you know. And clean feet already. Now, most of us in here live in this county, and if not, you still have Amish around. Look at Amish people's feet, particularly the women and the children, in the summer. Their feet are not clean. They are filthy. Because they don't wear shoes. So you can imagine wearing sandals. Think about your own feet when you've been walking in someplace where it's dusty. And that's just dust. Their roads, I mean, we've gotten a little spoiled here. We see a few road apples on the road from the Amish buggy down here, and we go nuts. Oh, I can't believe they need to make that horse wear a diaper. Well, it wasn't too long ago, even in this town, that the horse and buggies ruled, and you know, horses got to deposit emissions where they are at. And so they were all up and down the streets, and people were paid to come along with a thing and scoop to kind of keep them clean. But it wasn't even that much longer before that people just threw their pots out the windows. You ever see that on these shows? People are throwing, especially when you go back to old England, and people are throwing stuff, water, we'll use quotation, out the window. It wasn't water. That was their pot. And so, you know, if you think it's the people get hit with it, you think, oh, that's funny. Think about what it really is for just a minute. But that's what the streets were like. And even with Rome coming in, they had public toilets. This was not something that Israel had. So Jesus sat down and he washed their stinky feet. Not stinky because they were in somebody's sweat socks, but because of all the feces that was on them. He got down and he scrubbed their feet. Peter got a little crazy. You're going to give me a bath. I think Jesus is like, well, TMI, Peter. That ain't happening. Angela used to tell me, he said, when I go to grandma's house, grandma would say, I'm going to wash down to possible and up to possible, and you're to wash possible. As far as possible. Yeah, that's how it went. As far and up as possible. I was like, well, that's good. My grandma just threw me in the tub, said air. I'd slide around, spin around, you know, kind of like a washing machine. Get up. All right, I'm ready. But each one of us has a purpose. We are called for a purpose. You're not here arbitrarily. You're probably not called to do my job. At least here you're not. But you are called for a purpose for this sanctuary. I think that's a better term for what we call a church. Because as we all know, the church is actually the people. It's not the building. But it is a sanctuary. It's not a sanctuary that people can go out and kill somebody and then you can come in here and live and never get away. No, I don't even believe in that. But it is a sanctuary from outside the things. That's why I tell you, when you come in here, leave your problems out there and don't pick them up when you come back. Leave them. Trust me, your life will be a lot less stressful. You're going to pick it up eventually again because you're going to have to deal with it if it's a real problem. So I was thinking about that the other day, and the Lord took me to 1 Chronicles. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. I ain't gonna lie, I kind of slipped a little bit on this passage, because first off, Israel was told by God not to treat the alien wrong. And I don't think he was treating them wrong here. I don't know if these were people that just showed up and didn't want to do anything. See, our immigration policies are a lot less stringent than Israel's. You could become a part of Israel, but you had to assimilate to Israel. But he gathered up the aliens. I think what he was saying pretty much is that there were people in that group who were stonemasons. They could cut stone. And it's kind of a fun job. I mean, I love watching these brick masons, they get out there, and I've seen them cut with their trowels. I'm like, how do you do that? And they cut a nice straight line. Me, I'm the saw guy. Just take the saw and cut it. But these guys had to hewn these rocks. And they were massive. You know, if you don't realize how big a boulder is, you know, I never really paid attention to what a rock might weigh until I was making gravel. You know, a rock this big around, oh yeah, you know, I can pick that thing up. That thing might weigh 700 pounds. If you got a blue rock, an orange rock, or a green rock, they're extremely heavy. I have an orange one in front of my house. It's only about this big around. It took Joshua and I both, everything we had, to pick it up and put it on the tailgate of my truck. And then we were praying that there was another way to get it off of the truck because it's heavy. It hasn't moved. But the day when we unloaded it, we rolled it out and it hit the ground and took off rolling down the hill. It was all I could do. It was dragging me down the hill because it was sliding. That's how heavy they are. And by the way, when we made gravel, we saw those colored rocks come through. We were to throw them off because they'll break the jaws. That's how hard they are. So anyhow, so rock can be extremely heavy. So these guys are all doing all this work. They're getting paid for it, by the way. They weren't slaves. They were getting paid to do their job. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure. There was so much bronze they didn't bother weighing it. Think about that. I mean, bronze is valuable. You take it up to mill iron, you're coming back with a pretty good paycheck. And cedar trees in abundance. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen pictures of the Middle East over there, and I'm like, I don't see trees worth harvesting. But back in this day, there was lots of trees. We've had 2,000 years of over, at that point, over 2,000 years of wars. And one thing you do is you go in and you annihilate forests. You annihilate natural resources. You burn down their villages, their towns. You destroy all this stuff. And so they'd have to rebuild. So any trees that didn't get destroyed were then harvested. But they had cedar trees in abundance. For the Sidonians and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. So you had the whole region was loaded with cedar trees. And these were massive cedar trees. If you've ever seen a log cabin that somebody has built, and they're usually very expensive cabins, and they've got these massive logs in them, that's the size that these trees were. You know, around here we see a cedar tree that's this big around and we just get all giddy. But the reality was these trees were old. They were much older. They're kind of not as big as the redwoods and the sequoias, but they were massive trees by comparison. Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the Lord, or to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and you have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. This is something David wanted to do so badly, but he was eliminated. He was disqualified because of all the blood he shed. This is where I have a problem with the church when they stand up and they just start saying, we need to go kill him. God judged David because David had the same zeal. God's never really wanted people to die. But we live in a natural world, and that is what happens. So when we look at this, we have to understand David was eliminated because he had killed so many people. And he created wars. It said he made the war. He went to war with everybody. You looked at me wrong. We're going to war. David may have had some issues. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? We read something the other day on him that actually told a little more backstory through the history of David. And yeah. He might have had a chip on his shoulder. Did you ever notice he was left alone? Samuel called for all the sons of Jesse because God said go there. But David wasn't brought up. He was left in the back 40 with the sheep. And every time Samuel stood in front of one of the sons, God said, nope, I've rejected him. He's prideful. Rejected him, rejected him, rejected him, rejected him. And he got down there, and Samuel knew God had called him for something. And he said, is this all you've got? And he said, well, we got one little one. He's out in the field. There was more to why he was left out of it. He was rejected because of who his mother was. So anyhow, they bring him forth, and God said, that's the one. That's the man who's after my heart. And so he had that. Then he goes, take food to his brothers, and his brothers say, oh, you're just a prideful little twit. Who do you think you are? You're going to go up against this guy. You just want the reward. Well, I mean, tax exemption, gold, and a wife. Those who takes a bath regularly is a good thing, right? You know, let's be honest. This was the time you got a bath maybe once a month, if you were lucky. Well, let's see. I never read anything about his gold. Never really have read anything about the tax exemption, and I do know about his wife. She was given to another man. So there's another chip on your shoulder. Oh, by the way, your father-in-law keeps trying to kill you. Your son sleeps with your concubines. Tries to take your kingdom. He's got a few chips on his shoulders, so he's got some issues he's got to deal with. But he's made war. He shed blood, and God said, that's not what I want for my temple. I need you to understand today, ladies and gentlemen, We're the temple. We're the only temple on this planet that matters. Jerusalem does not matter. Sick and tired of Christians. Oh, we need to go see the temple. There's a mosque there. So knock yourself out. You are the most precious temple on this planet. The Holy Spirit does not live in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit lives in us. It doesn't live in Jerusalem or Tulsa-Rusalem. It's us. We're the only thing that matters. And God thought so much of us that he gave us different textures of hair. He gave us different colors of hair. He gave us different colors of eyes. Nobody has the same shade of eyes either. You may have brown eyes, but they're different shades. And they kind of change over time. Your hair color changes. It gets silver. God wanted us as the temple. As glorious and as famous as David was wanting this thing to be. Right here's what God wanted. God doesn't want us seeking to hurt people. That doesn't mean we don't stand up and defend those who can't. It means we should not be trying to kill everybody just because they don't believe like us. That was a very common thing. So now, we see here, and God goes on, he goes on telling the rest of the word, but I'm going to skip up to 14. And he says, indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1 million talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure. Everything there has an extreme value. Right now, gold is at $2,051. I got it wrote down here. I mean, this is as of 30 minutes ago. And $2,051.49 an ounce. That comes up to $32,500 a pound. So the amount of gold that he was talking about here, that he has captured, or either captured, God's brought in, whatever, and this does not eliminate the wealth of the country. This is just for a temple. The gold itself was 3,750 tons. At $2,051.49 an ounce. Comes up to $2.46 trillion. I had to ask Jason, I'm figuring up these numbers back here on my phone on the calculator. And I'm like, I said, Jason, what's this mean? It came up with an E. When I was a kid, if you wanted an E, you had to turn the calculator upside down. This had an E on it. I said, what's this mean? He says, well, it means after this point, you got, after the decimal point, you got to go 9 or 11 spaces. And it might be 24 trillion. I'm not going to say I did that correctly. Like I said, I had to ask about how to work my calculator. But the silver comes up to 37,500 tons. At $22.81 or 88 cents an ounce. So for about the weight of this is $22.88. Multiplied by 16 for a pound. Keep going. You got to get up to, for a short time, what, 2,000 pounds? To get up to 37,500 tons. That comes up to $2.47 trillion. This is how much David wanted this building to look glorious. Is it any wonder Babylon plundered it? They took the gold. Everything was covered in gold, real gold, not this fake stuff that we put on everything. Real gold. Chairs were covered in gold. And when you understand how thin you can take gold and still cover stuff, It is amazing. They made their forks, the spoons, all the utensils were gold. Silver. Doesn't include the iron for the hinges. The brass. Doesn't include all that. We, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the $1 trillion for a church. Uh-oh, that ain't good. Yeah. For a church. Oh, people's heads will be rolling. Eyes be rolling back in their head. Oh, I don't think that, blah, 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 blah. But yet God blessed every person that gave into that. It said people brought the gold willingly. They didn't have to be forced. They weren't taxed. They willingly brought this in to the house of the Lord to build it. Right then, at that point, they were still in a tent. Tent that had badger skins and a few other things on the sides. It was a tent. And David wanted a house. He wanted something magnificent. And it became something magnificent. Herod's temple that he built for the Jews was nothing in comparison. But yet, somebody's got to do all this. This was an expensive build. There is no building on the planet that comes close to the value. As a matter of fact, Jason and I were talking about the value of like Elon Musk. He's got investments. He's got a business here. He's got a business here. That is what counts up. This is cash. This is hard cash. It's not, well, you know, I'll have to sell this business over here to get $100 million. And then we were talking about, he said, I like to ask people, he said, if you could make a dollar, was it a dollar per second? How long would it take you to get to $1 billion? I think he says 1,400 years for $1 billion. God brought trillions of dollars of value into David's hands. Doesn't include the cost of the stone, the wood, the draperies. Didn't include all that. He brought it in the short time that he was king. That's a blessing of God. You know, we know from having to do this, I mean, we've had such blessing in this project. First off, the price we got it for. If we were trying to buy this building, I would say back, or today, we would probably be looking at $300,000 just to start. Where Mary Kay's Flowers is, you know, most of us know where it's at over here on the corner. $229,000 for that building. What you see is what you get. There's no backyard, no side yard. That's it. It's a commercial spot. So imagine, and that building will fit inside of this building. As a matter of fact, most of that lot will fit in most of this. God has blessed us. People brought money. We didn't beg. We didn't steal and we didn't borrow. But God brought it in. But let's see, let me get down here. Gold, silver, for I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters, and all types of skillful men for every kind of work. Of gold and silver and bronze and iron, there is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you. Well, I still don't understand my part. I mean, Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance. It took people to do it. It took people to do this. The people that built it were no less special than the priests. I.e., your talents are supposed to be used by God. If you can sing, we have no problem. If you can play an instrument, we're game. We are actually going to make the stage a little bigger. We're not really coming much further, so don't worry. I had to do some figuring. We're actually going to shrink the pulpit. It's going to go a little skinnier, like about that wide. We got plans. Well, you know, I just can't. I get it. You know, back in the day, Pat was here with me every day when we were doing this. I mean, I was so sick and tired of running a pressure washer 2 weeks straight. Crud cutter straight blowing down in your eyes. It's a wonder I can still see. The oil on the floor. We worked, and there's lots of us who worked. But it was fun. It was a joy to do it. We didn't have heat. That came. Had different carpet. The heating system we did have that we thought we were going to use was one of those tube heaters that you walk into Walmart and it cooks your brain when you walk in. We had one of them running right down the middle here, which is fine down here, but not so great up there. Oh, by the way, the gas company wouldn't turn the gas on because they said there was a leak. So we never got to use it. Ended up selling it. We bought an electric furnace with air conditioning. But we didn't have air conditioning for the first year and a half. So I see some of y'all sitting around with your fans. Oh, you'd have been. Because there's no windows to open. We heated it with kerosene heaters. I think Pat and Brenda and I were talking about that the other day. Come here, yep, you can smell the kerosene. I'd have to come over about 2 in the morning, make sure it had fuel in it. But God has blessed us. Well, why didn't God do this? Because we're the temple. Take care of yourself. You're better than a Twinkie. Have a Twinkie. But don't eat the whole box. One of my weaknesses is M&Ms. I can sit down with that bag one at a time. I will eat them one at a time. Look down. Where'd the bag go? And I'm not talking about the little individual packs. I'm talking about the ones that says share with your friend. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I got this knot right here in my stomach. Okay, that's an abuse. You have skills. You may have skills that, well, I don't know where this skill works here. It'll work in the body of Christ somewhere. We're the body. See, that's the problem. We keep forgetting. We're a body. We are a body. But we might be a thumb in the overall thing. I was explaining this to somebody the other day who's telling me, oh, I'd love to have, you know, see the body of Christ of Morrow County come together and we all worship together. Well, that's kind of like my thumb trying to clean out my eye. You can't do it. This finger can do it better. If I got something in it, I've been able to get stuff out of my thumb, that's not its purpose in life. My thumb's purpose is to grab things. I may have two hands, and they work in conjunction, but guess what? They are opposite of each other. They face different directions. So if I want to turn them so that they face the same direction, now the thumb over here is down, and I can't do what I'm supposed to do. My foot or my hand can't be a foot. My foot can't be my hand. Although if you've lost some, I've seen people be able to write their names better than I can, and they can do it with their toes. But that's because they don't have a hand. We're a part of the body of Christ. It's our job to work in conjunction with each other and pray for them. Bless what they're doing for good. We may not have much of a youth program right now, but we have been helping New Life Assembly with theirs. And actually what they're doing was a vision God gave me years ago. Don't know if he was just telling me that that was a place for my heart or what, because it's just never come to fruition here. But yet I have ministered to a lot of those kids, just talking to them. Some of them not even knowing I'm a pastor, which I just as soon keep that on the DL sometimes. They'll actually open up to you. But you see, what you have, the abilities you have. Maybe you have an ability to make money. We were at a church one time, and the guest minister came around, and he called people. He said, you're a banker. You're a banker. You're a banker. You know, blessing. And how did he sit with us? He said, you're a banker, but you're different. Well, I now understand why. We paid off our building in 15 years. We remodeled our building inside those 15 years. The value we have in this building, based on the insurance appraisal, is a whole lot more. I think it's actually in the $3 million range. We paid $115,000 for the building, the lot, the junkyard, and the driveway. But you see, it took people to do that. Sometimes we may have to ask you to do something that you're not really interested in, but you do it, and you do it for as long as you can, because there's grace on things. But when that grace lifts, you know you have to stop. But I will tell you, when I ask you, it's because God has showed me something in you, and sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes you don't see what God sees. Years ago when I became a pastor, I had to start learning to look at people how God sees them. Because I've had people say, how can you put up with them? I see people how God sees them. And I want people to see me the way God sees me. There's people that think I'm just violent. I can do violence, yes. I want peace. I will tell you right now, I have broken up more fights than I've ever been in. Second grade. They were going to swap me for it. The principal swore up and down he was going to get me before I got out of there too. But two of the girls that were there who were telling the story said, no, he wasn't. He was breaking it up. And I was about that tall. I would prefer not to fight. But I will if I have to. But when it comes to you and you need prayer, I fight. And that's what I want you to do for others. Your gifts may not necessarily open every door in here, but if you can do something, if you're a greeter, if you're part of the custodial class, the teachers, whatever it is, that helps. And that's what I'm saying. And God told me maybe some people needed to hear this in here. Because you're saying, now, what are we doing? Well, I happen to know one thing that we are actually called to, and that is prayer. It doesn't mean we hold prayer meetings for days on end, unless God says. It means, I believe, just as a centurion soldier told Jesus, all you have to do is say the word. Because that's what my Bible teaches, what faith really is. There's people that think you got to fast for a month before God's going to move. How's that faith? If God told you to fast, you need to fast. But I believe that when I speak to the mountain, somehow I'm going to go the other side of it. There's been times the mountain didn't move. I either became a boring machine and went through it, went around it, or I went over it. Not every mountain moves. We're called to hold back because of, I'll call it, the militant background that I have, spiritual forces. We fight against spirits. But we don't do it up here. We do it in our heart when we pray. And we need to have the word. You need to know. I realized years ago, because, I mean, there are other churches in this county that believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the church that we came from was just an extension of the one that was here before. And I realized that things had happened. There were things that were wrong. And then when God told us to start this church, we said, okay. But we were totally separate. As a matter of fact, the pastor that we had made sure that people knew that he did not back me. Even though he later told me, I knew you were called to preach. Go figure. But what I realized is later is we don't have the same call that church had. That church introduced this county more to the Holy Spirit. What we're here to do is to be the guard at the gate. We're to do spiritual warfare so that these churches can grow, so the people can grow. They may get bigger than us. Whoop-de-doo-da. We're part of the body of Christ. They don't get a reward we don't get. We have supported financially many ministries in this county. When the Catholic Church burnt down, we sent an offering. When Gilead Friends was building on, we sent an offering. We support the closet out there at Northfield, not even church related. We support Edison Enterprise Garage Ministry. People that need their cars fixed, but they really can't afford it. You just have to buy the parts. We send them money so that they can help with that and buy supplies. You do that. We send money to their food pantry. We have helped many, many churches around here who do this. We're now reaching out and helping Safe Harbor of Ohio, which helps those who have been human trafficked. We reach out. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help. So now we understand what bankers do and why we were different. And we do this out of the tithe of the church, so the church tithes every month. I may not be the smartest. I just have to obey what God says. So what your gifts are, you know, Joe's got a gift for teaching. He's been doing it how many years now? A few. But he came up, and when he first started teaching, he's like, I feel comfortable here. I said, you go for it. People, we need to understand that. But then not too long ago, he stepped out of a comfort zone. And he started teaching more spiritual things. Because he has a gift. And when you have a gift for something, I will utilize it. If I can actually utilize it. So don't think, well, my pastor just using me. Yeah, I am. Rob has a gift. He can put these appliques on these windows because he's meticulous with them. Me? Go get a marker. Paint that. Because I screwed up. I will ask you to do things because it's your gift. It's a gifting you have. Your gift will make a place for you. Well, I don't see where my gift is in here. Well, have you made yourself available? And that's why we ask you what your giftings are. I just asked Cody today if he could learn sound. Because when Jason's not here, guess who gets to do it? The guy who's up here. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll learn it. 1987, somebody came up and said, hey, would you be interested in running the soundboard? Never done it, but yeah, why not? I like my stereo. It was just a giant stereo. Except everybody looked at me when it made funny noises. But I started there. At the age of 10, I started working on every building project the church I was in ever had. At 10. So for almost 44 years, I have been doing work projects at church. And I was doing work men should have been doing at 10. But the men wouldn't show up. Just a handful. And that's usually the way it is, and sometimes that's the best way to do. But the point being, I have done that. I've cleaned. Been a youth pastor. Worked in the children's ministry. Worked in the nursery. Sound man. Never even attempted to sing. There's a gift of singing, and if you don't use it, you lose it. And I lost mine years ago. So I have done virtually everything in here. And when I became a pastor and got this, I got to do some things I'd never done before. I've learned HVAC. I've learned to work with three-phase electric. Sure would have been nice to have had Johnny here then. He'd have said, "Are you stupid?" So I'm standing in front of the three-phase panel, dripping in sweat, shorts, no shirt, and my tennis shoes. He's like, "Yo, you need this suit on. You need that." Yeah. So maybe it's a good thing he was. He might have had a coronary. I got to leave. But see, our gifts make a way for us. There are so many things. You know, Bob and Karen, when they agreed and they started coming to church, they have been a great help to us. They've backed us. They said, "Lead the way." Many of you have done the same thing. So don't think that we look around, we don't use you. Well, if you want to be used a little bit more, let me know. I mean, there's things. I'm kind of wanting to slow down on some of the work projects. I got Tim hired in. He takes care of our regular maintenance stuff, but I'm like, "Lord, we got to get this project done." And we're going to. Hopefully soon we'll have two new bathrooms opened up. But God has said, "You don't have to. You got plenty of bathrooms, but we'd like to have those." So understand, David needed people. He needed people like you. You have a gift. You have a calling. You're not just here to keep a spot warm. You're here to serve your brothers and sisters. That's how we do it. That's what we do. When we go out to other churches, like when we went to Bluefield, West Virginia, it was a great time. Great time. You know, I know Richard loves to go out there and mess with them weeds. I don't know what the deal is. We gave him a Roundup thing and a weed eater. I think we had to go buy the weed eater, didn't we? They didn't have a weed eater or a sprayer or Roundup, but we went and bought it so they could keep the weeds down around that place that was ministering to children from drug addict parents. We did that, and it was a blast. And then we reminded Richard of the copperheads that like to lay over there in those weeds. He wasn't as thrilled with that. Well, now you tell me. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Working with each other, working with other ministries. Up until I was going to try to go with Samaritan's Purse on a couple of things, but back then you will wear a mask and you will get a shot. And I said, "No, I won't." I make a stand on some things. My body, keep your mouth off of it. But God will use what you can do. We've seen people's hearts with children. I know Michelle's heart's been with kids for a long time. She used to dress up as a mouse. We still got that picture. Is it Jesse or Josh or Justin?
Jesse.
He figured out that it was Michelle. But Jesse was this tall. It was at school, yeah. She remembers. But you see, We've been able to watch what people can do and what they step up and do. Well, I'm just an intercessor. It's important, but you can intercede at home. Sometimes people need their feet washed. We'll talk about maybe more things down the road for how people can help. We've talked about how schools need, they don't teach you how to do your taxes. They don't teach you how to do your laundry. Do they even have home ec anymore? Yeah, don't even have it. You want to know the hilarious part? Rita Wood, right? Was she the home ec teacher? She was my home ec teacher too. So if you see her, I realized she wasn't as old as I thought back then. You know, I thought she was an old lady. She was younger than me. Yeah. Then. Yeah. She'd have been late 20s, early 30s then. All right, let's stand. Don't ever think you don't have anything to offer to anybody. But don't ever get jealous of somebody else's calling. When you step outside of your calling is when you fall. You may have stirrings, you may have opinions on things, and what I've come to learn over the years is it's not my business. It's not my business. That's between them and God. And if it's wrong, it'll show. Just like if you plug a wire into the wrong spot on your soundboard, it'll show up real quick. And you learn. But guess what? You're going to do that, aren't you? You're going to bonk your head. You're going to smash your finger. But you're going to remember that. Building this temple, I guarantee you, there were guys that smashed their fingers, got cut. We don't know of any deaths. But back then, it was real common because OSHA didn't exist. But just remember, you are valuable to God, and He gave you those gifts. He gave you things. If you just, you know, we've got Brenda and Vicky. They've helped. They've wanted to help. Vicky's our assistant. Huh? Brenda. She knew what I meant. But Miss Brenda's our personal assistant. Anything we need, she'll do it. We're pretty easy. We don't make demands. But you see, you are needed. You are valuable for what you bring to something. You just need to make sure that you're operating in what you're supposed to be operating. And if you feel God's moving you on, you need to grow. Because I'll tell you right now, the first thing I had to do to get here, I had to grow. Because trust me, you can ask Angela, even back not too many years before God called us, I wouldn't have tolerated some of the personal attacks. Yeah. But now, what are you going to do, take away my birthday? Shave my head, send me to boot camp? Been there, got the bozo button. But just remember, God wanted peace and love to be representative of His temple, not the war and the bloodshed that David brought. That's why you have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Amen. Just a reminder, we do have fellowship meal afterwards, so you're hungry? We got food. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the peace that You bring to us through the resurrection and the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. but Father, but also through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit is what people see in us. Father, help us to continue to crucify the flesh that just wants to rip off heads and spit down people's necks. Help us to extend to them the love, the mercy, and understand that maybe there's a reason why they're acting the way they do, because there's a reason we act the way we do. Father, I pray now that for those who may be shaken in their boots right now, Father, because they're unsure of what their gifts are, Lord, I pray that you help them to understand and see their giftings, their value, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to move in their lives. And Father, I thank you right now that your healing power is moving throughout this body. Father, you're touching people who didn't even ask for prayer. But Lord, that you know what's in their bodies. You know the aches, the pains, the problems they're dealing with. Lord, I thank you that you're moving right now. And Father, I thank you that your peace will leave us as we go from here today. I thank you, Lord, that you are leading us in all truth, all righteousness. Now, Father, I bless your people. I pray, Father, that as they go forth, your love leads the way. Your love is what people feel and see. In Jesus' name, amen.